Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for a review of the news. Chill day today. It's always like this in the weekend. I originally titled around Ryan Dawson coming to the show, but he will not be coming. I misunderstood his email. It's all my fault. His email, I was reading it quick, and it seemed like it was tonight. But as it turns out, he's available Monday. So we'll be having him on Monday. So tonight will be a chill show as usual. It will be fun to talk to Ryan Dawson because he has this, he has some thoughts about the Ukraine war, and he has a Substack where he wrote, "Why would a Jewish president work with Nazis?" Just for those who may be unaware that this is possible, a lot of people, especially on the left, are like, Putin doesn't make sense. Zelensky is Jewish. He cannot be aligned with Nazis. And Ryan Dawson makes a good case. First, that even the globalist empire as it stands, it doesn't care that much about Jewishness. It's just that there is some alliance between the globalist and Israel and the US, and there are Jews in the US, but it's the globalist empire can use Nazis if it needs to at a given moment. They're not so attached to the discourse around Jews and the whole victimization that you see in presenting the Jews as a persecuted minority. That is something they will use only when they need. That is what Ryan Dawson says, and ultimately, they do not. The globalist empire does not represent all Jews, and they do not care about all Jews. It's an interesting take, and I tend to agree. That's why I've never been annoyed at the idea that yes, it could be the case that Zelensky is teaming up with Nazis, and as it turns out, there's plenty of Nazis that were found with swastika tattoos. In Ukraine, so to a certain extent, Putin must be right. To a certain extent, there must be far-right movements, nationalist movements that have been recruited as part of the defense of Ukraine and the control of Ukraine before the war. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? If you'd like to support the show tonight, use the support button on Odyssey. The Odyssey Hyper Chats are my favorite way of supporting the show. So make sure you are logged in on Odyssey and use the support button, or you can join us on Entropy. The link is in the description below. Will the peace talk be successful this time? That is our survey of the night, because we have the Ukraine side coming out tonight saying that they have had the Russians accept their position. But that doesn't tell us much, because we don't know what that position is at this point. Is it a position where there will be a possibility for DPR and LPR to be independent republics, or is it not? Because it all hinges on this. Now, the Russian side has said that they were accepting certain terms, but that there was still a conflict over Crimea. That's interesting. It's bizarre. If the conflict is around Crimea, then what has been agreed on DPR and LPR? Is it that they will be given the status of independent republics? I don't know. I have no idea. Someone posted this on the Discord. Check out the mega thread explaining exactly why the left is so intently pushing sex on your kids. Josh Dowse, the host of the Great Awakening podcast, just dropped a mega thread explaining precisely why the left is trying so hard to indoctrinate your kids in modern sexual ideology. He says, "I'm seeing a lot of people on the right share this meme. While it may be a strong satirical response to those who get lost in nuance, it fundamentally fails to recognize why the left wants to talk to your kids about sexuality. Let's connect some ducks." And this was a comment by Aaron McIntyre that was saying, "It's not rocket science, guys. They're just evil and want to diddle your kids." I like this meme personally. So I understand that the meme doesn't capture all of reality, but I think it's a great meme. It's so straight to the point. It's so unquestionable. It's so certain that it happens. Personally, I enjoy this meme, but he wants to give more details. He says, the left doesn't want to diddle kids. Well, I think he's making a false dichotomy here. Isn't it possible that the left does want to advance a revolutionary leftist agenda by brainwashing children, and that some people in the left also want to diddle kids? They want to create little revolutionaries. To do that, they need to sever the bond between students and the parents they believe are raising their children to be hateful bigots. In order to sever the bond between parents and their children, the left is using a two-pronged approach: critical race theory and radical gender ideology, properly known as queer theory, are not two unrelated sets of ideas. They are two parts of the same strategy. CRT is usually the first set of ideas to be introduced. This is often enough to radicalize racial minorities, but it's merely step one for white or white-adjacent students. CRT instills in these students a negative self-identity as they're taught to believe they're recipients of enormous privilege that was stolen from others and that they are complicit in historic and ongoing injustice. In child terms, they're taught to believe they're bad. Apart from the shame and guilt, this also gives them a worldview at odds with one of their parents, with the one their parents grew up in and are trying to pass on to their kids. Step one is complete. Once CRT is done tearing down these kids and leaving them with a negative self-identity, queer theory is introduced and offers them a wide assortment of positive self-identities to choose from. Instead of living with the shame and guilt of being a member of the oppressive dominant culture, these students can be celebrated for coming out as gender non-binary or pansexual. In an instant, these kids can trade their negative self-identity and all the accompanying guilt and shame of being an oppressor for a positive self-identity as a much venerated oppressed minority. I think it's a great analysis of the interplay between the destruction on the one hand of white identity, the attack on white identity, and then combined with it, the offer, which is, if you don't reproduce, you'll be on the side of the oppressed. And these things do work together. So I appreciate the commentary here by Josh Dawes. However, the meme remains good. The Aaron McIntyre meme remains a very simple, straight-to-the-point explanation of this whole phenomenon. Foundation of the 21st Century says, Jeff, the term Nazi is a misnomer in this case. We all know that these lads are the descendants of a previous generation who were in large part national socialists and had direct contact with the Bolsheviks and a murderous famine. Zelensky is using this old hatred to his benefit with foreign actors. Well, yes, but I wouldn't say that makes it a misnomer. I would say, okay, they are Nazis. They are, you know, historically tied and ideologically tied to what the Nazis were. Now, this is just it. Now, this doesn't cause problem to me. It causes problem for 99.9% of the population, which has been bashing on Nazis for 5 years. They have a big problem there. I don't want you to be mistaken about why I'm bringing in the Nazi label here. It's because I find it hilarious. I think it's a hilarious moment where all of the Twitter leftists are siding with the Nazis. I find this beautiful. And so much so that Facebook had to alter their rule and say, oh, you know what? This time, Nazis are okay. You can't make this up. So please understand that I don't have any... It's like I'm not hating on the Ukrainians here. But it's undeniable that they have effectively teamed up with Nazis to some extent, who have been effectively operating doing Nazi stuff in the south of Ukraine. That's just it. Now, this is their problem. It's your side. It's like I'm not on your side. So it's the problem of the internal consistency of the left. That's what I'm trying to highlight here. Now, in other situations, I would have wanted to interview these Nazis. I would have wanted to, you know, what do you think? What are your thoughts? What led you to this life? But we're not in that context. We're in the context of war, and Vladimir Putin has chosen to denazify them. Someone has given me a video of my performance when I attempted, by talking very slowly, I attempted to emulate 2x slowdown, and he's put it at 2x quick so that we can hear if I was successful. I'm pretty impressed by my performance. Let's have a look at the video.
Back slower so that you hear my normal voice.
Hello, this is JF. Welcome to JFG Tonight.
Let me know how it sounds at 2x. I would like to hear it.
That's me speaking 2x slower and then being fast forwarded 2x. I think I pretty much hit the nail. I've hit it on the nail here. Foundation 21st Century says, JF, is it possible to contact one of these brigade members? I guess that if I was knowledgeable in this area, I could. But in this moment, in the context of war, I don't have any contacts within the Ukrainian neo-Nazis, despite what the Canadian service, secret services would like to think. I have no friends within the Ukrainian neo-Nazis. Sorry, so I can't do an interview. Ukrainian negotiator claims advances in talks with Russia, possibility of direct consultations between Zelensky and Putin in the future. This would happen in Turkey. The talks were facilitated by the Turkish president. We announced our Ukrainian position in Istanbul, Arakamiya said in nationally televised remarks, and the Russian Federation has given an official answer to all these positions, which is that they accept this position except for the issue of Crimea. That is a very bizarre event. How can you agree on everything, but you don't agree on Crimea? What was then what is this agreement? Now, they say the agreement is only oral, and we would have to see written what form it takes, but they would have somehow resolved DPR and LPR, but not Crimea. It seems to me that if you lose DPR and LPR, you lose Crimea too. So is it possible that this acceptation is not as solid as the Ukrainian side makes it look? Is it possible that we're being exposed to some kind of propaganda here to make us believe that Kremlin is close to conceding something? But yeah, Firestarter says this position. I don't know what that means. What is your position? They should specify. But for now, that's the status. So they expect to have something written. I don't know. The question ultimately is Crimea, DPR, LPR. What are the concessions on the Kiev side? Because we were seeing the progress of the war. And look at this. We basically see it on the map. The new strategy of Putin, exactly as I described 2 days ago, it's this line right here. It's between Belgorod and Kherson. And you can see the bombardments they are setting up to encircle this entire part of Ukraine. So although we have seen the withdrawal around Kiev, what I'm seeing here is a total refocus on the southeastern Ukraine and the securing of this land bridge. So it's looking good for Vladimir Putin. I don't think he doesn't look to me in a weak position. It seems that he's setting up exactly what he would be interested in from Ukraine. And I don't know, perhaps we'll see tanks advancing in this line very soon. Pineapple Platypotamus says, I'm pretty sure I got psyoped into loving Putin, and I gotta say, I'm very happy every time I see the news. You're very happy about what? About the progress of the war? You are satisfied with the progress of the war? Interesting. Russia shifting focus to victory by early May in eastern Ukraine. U.S. officials say Russia has revised its Ukraine war strategy to focus on taking control of the Donbass and other regions in eastern Ukraine with a target date of early May, according to several U.S. officials familiar with the latest U.S. intelligence assessment. So it seems that we would be headed toward a big event around May 5, perhaps the end of the war, perhaps the end of advancement of Russian troops, because on May 9 there will be a military celebration with Putin, and that would be a great moment to announce some kind of victory, or maybe announce some kind of of successful peace deal. The Terran Empire says, how are the EU military rebuilds coming along? Also, will the EU eventually have to seize the resources in Africa? There is nothing there to stop them and nowhere else to get cheap resources in that quantity. Well, that would imply a reawakening of colonialism in Europe. And just straight out going and stealing resources, that is very 1950s. I don't think that it would happen in that form. You have a big problem, which is that there are some companies who want to do a form of neocolonialism, get into Africa, have some kind of private corporations there, extract the material, all of this hand in hand with a given state. But you're faced with the problem that you're stuck in Africa, and you know, we've seen gas pipelines built in Africa only to get drilled at every point. And it's like, no matter what you put in that pipeline, half of it will be stolen. So that's a big problem. If you don't have a stable enough society, you would have full colonization option if you're able to send an army and take control of the country. But I don't see Europe doing this that openly, that violently in 2022. I think it's basically been abandoned. So you have subversion, you have, you know, rewarding local powers, teaming up with the local mafia, but then you're stuck with the fact that you don't have a much stable society to interact with, and potentially any amount of resources that are easily stealable will be stolen. So I don't expect much European colonialism. I think Europe is done with colonialism. I think its population wouldn't be much enthusiastic about funding it and making it happen. Day drinking, big shot, and billions of dollars, how the nickel market imploded. So a trade jumped by 250% over the course of days. Investors would typically pop bottles of champagne. Between Friday, March 4 and Tuesday, March 8, nickel futures did just that, soaring on the London Metals Exchange from about $29,000 to $100,000 per ton. But the champagne remains corked. Investors are threatening to sue, and the LME is hemorrhaging business. Well, your investors are not celebrating because they were in a short. And yeah, we are in a world of material resources becoming extremely important, gaining in value. And in that world, if you've shorted resources, of course, this is what happens. So it seems that a lot of wealth has been destroyed by this sudden jump, because nickel apparently is a very boring metal, which has been relatively stable following a price, very small price variation for decades, and suddenly it tripled in value. Well, what can you do? We are at war, we are in a war, and in a war, resources, and especially since nickel is so important for batteries, and it seems that everyone is indicating that we're going to be headed for a battery-only electric vehicle world. They will outlaw gas cars. Now, there were some people on social media that were raising the question of how much CO2 does it cost to produce these batteries. I would like to have a quantification of that, because it seems to me that we're going to be producing so much batteries, if we don't have a significant saving on CO2, then those laws would seem unjustified to me. What is the amount of CO2 used in the production of a battery? Fixed DSM says nickel pumped like a shitcoin. Justet says nickel is aplenty in Sudbury, Ontario. No, JF. I mean, nickel, I think it's not a super rare metal. I think most places where you have mines will be able to pull out nickels. So I wouldn't be surprised that there is some in Ontario. I don't know. Rahim Kassam says Google will demonetize websites which report Ukrainian government attacks on its own citizens. Google Ad Manager has sent this message. Due to the war in Ukraine, we will pause monetization of content that exploits, dismisses, or condones the war. Please note, we have already been enforcing on claims related to the war in Ukraine when they violated existing policies. For instance, the dangerous or derogatory content policy prohibits monetizing content that incites violence or denies tragic events. This update is meant to clarify and in some cases expand our publisher guidance as it relates to this conflict. This pause includes, but is not limited to, claims that imply victims are responsible for their own tragedy, or similar instances of victim blaming, such as claims that Ukraine is committing genocide or deliberately attacking its own citizens. So you can't say that there was a genocide happening in Ukraine, although you have video evidence of Ukrainian forces, and at times Azov battalion, attacking people for being ethnic Russians. So you can't state that anymore. You can't state that if you're a website who deals with Google AdSense. So that would mean most of the websites on the internet who are monetizing their content with AdSense, they could not say that they've seen a video of Azov battalion people torturing Russians, which has been happening. We have it on video. It's happening. And we've seen plenty of evidence that they were torturing civilians and killing civilians at time, based on suspicions that they were collaborating with the Russians. No due process, no way of knowing if their claims are true. They just kill people. That's pretty disgusting, and you can see that the empire is extremely tight. I mean, they will use any force they can to bend the internet to their will. I'm so happy that I'm out of Twitter and out of YouTube, so I don't have to think about this. But if I was on YouTube right now, I couldn't even make that case. I couldn't say, hey, you know what, there is a genocide happening in Ukraine. It is a small genocide. It is happening at the people-to-people level, small battalions, just torturing locals. But there's also a more institutional genocide that's been happening in Ukraine, where ethnic Russians have been denied opportunities for supporting the wrong political side, for being too Russia-sympathetic. They have been denied the opportunity of being employed in the government. 1 million people. 1 million people are on the blacklist of the Ukraine government for being too pro-Russian. They can't have a job. Lendal says, and they complain about censorship in Russia. Sure, there is censorship in Russia, but so is there censorship on Google-dominated cyber systems. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, I would be for a free world, but to be honest, in worlds that are both censoring, and one is honest about its censorship, one is dishonest about its censorship, I actually prefer the honest world. I would prefer being in a country that tells me, Jeff, here's the list of things that will get you to jail. Don't say these things. Perfect. I'm going to find a way to work around and I'm going to express what I can. But the most, the biggest psychological torture is this great lie that the US is, that tells you, you have First Amendment right, but we can cancel you if you say something we don't like. It's so much more deep into like invading your cognition, because it's very easy for the human brain to say, you know what, I can deal with this. A clear law that tells me you can't say this. Okay, so my political enemies don't like me saying this. They will put me in jail, so I have to be careful. But on the other hand, with the American system of saying, you know what, you have the right to say anything. There shall be no law that that restricts the freedom of speech. And on the other hand, the very companies that these laws should apply to, like Section 230, are explicitly given the right to ban stuff in advance. So your brain has to work deeper. It has to work the censorship deeper, and you have to change who you are. Because the other, it's easy to handle. The brain will just kick out, okay, I can't say this, I can't say that. But the YouTube type censorship and the Google AdSense type censorship, they force you to think ahead and try to guess what the regime doesn't want you to say. And in that sense, they're demanding much more cognitive load and much more integration of the enemy's perspective. Gazprom halts gas shipments to Europe via critical pipeline after European nations imported the most gas from Russian sources yesterday in months, scrambling to stock up on supplies as Russian President Vladimir Putin's deadline to either pay for gas in rubles or be cut off came and went. Russian gas giant Gazprom has officially halted all deliveries to Europe via the Yamal-Europe pipeline, a critical artery for European energy supplies. There has been extreme lack of clarity in this. So Zero Hedge reports this. But there's another private company in Russia, and Europe is, as said, as reported to CNN, that they were still receiving gas from them. What does that mean? Maybe there's a little delay in implementing the order of Putin, or maybe private companies will not be as insistent on as Gazprom can be since it's controlled by the state. I don't know, but it seems that Europe is still receiving some amount of gas. However, the Gazprom halting, that would be significant if they keep it up. Now, yesterday I was talking of a scheme that they were thinking of doing, which is that a Russian bank would basically exchange euros for rubles, and from the side of Russia they would be receiving rubles, and from the side of Europe they would be paying euros. But it doesn't seem to have stopped the halting. So that would mean there is some transaction that's not happening. And we'll see how it goes. I hope that this halt is serious and that it will be maintained enough to starve the European market. As Tim Pool says, it's about time that people in the West know what struggle is and they be confronted with a situation where life is really hard, because it's true, the generation that's currently alive basically has never known super harsh times. And it would be interesting to see what happens to the human phenotype under a stress that their genes haven't encountered for generations now. Pineapple Platypotamus says, but it's YouTubers also trying to follow the vague rules. Yes, and the vaguer the rules are, the more your brain has to figure out, okay, how do I handle this? How do I make sure that I can expect what my opponent doesn't want me to say. Edging towards a gold standard, commentators are trying to make sense of Russian moves. However, there is a backstory which differs from much of the speculation which this article address, addresses. The Russians have not put the ruble on some sort of gold standard. Instead, they have repeated the Nixon-Kissinger strategy, which created the petrodollar in 1973 by getting the Saudis to agree to accept only dollars for oil. This time, nations deemed by Russia to be unfriendly will be forced to buy rubles, roughly $2 trillion by the EU alone, based on last year's natural gas and oil imports from Russia, driving up the exchange rate. The ruble has now doubled against the dollar from its low point of 150 to 75 yesterday in just over 3 weeks. The Russian central bank will soon be able to normalize the domestic economy by reducing interest rates and removing exchange controls. The Russians and Chinese will be acutely aware that Western currencies, particularly the yen and euro, are likely to be undermined by recent developments. The financial war, which has always been in the background, is emerging into plain sight. The winner by default is almost certainly gold, now the only reliable reserve asset for those not aligned with Russia's unfriendlies, but it is still a long way from backing any currency. Interesting analysis, but I don't think that gold is the only winner. I think that Bitcoin will emerge extremely well, because Bitcoin has a supplementary advantage with respect to gold. It is highly transmissible, highly changeable, it's very easy to transfer and protect. Gold still doesn't have this. Guy from V says, the Putin JF users totally looks like Monkey Putin. Yeah, you know what? I was looking at this picture that I have of him, which is from a recent speech, and I was shocked racially. I was seeing the Chinese in Vladimir Putin. What do you think? I mean, let's actually pull a picture. Vladimir Putin picture. Listen. There is, I need to select the picture so that we see it. I believe that there is some Chinese race inside the Russian. Call me crazy, but if you take the face of Vladimir Putin and you subtract everything that is European from it, I believe that the difference you get is Asian. You know, look at his eyes. There is kind of some beginning of Asian appearance to his eyes. I believe that the shape of the head, there is something Chinese in this. End of the line, Joel says, East Russians become more Asian looking. Yeah, exactly. I think we see it, especially if you go from to the south of Russia in the east, you totally see the mix. Lendald says 10% on average, perhaps. Yes, it's totally. And Firestarter says you're crazy, JF. I don't think I'm crazy. I think there's definitely an Asian appearance, and it would make total sense because they are very close to the Asians. Their borders are with Asian countries. I don't think that I'm divagating here. Dr. Paul Gosar, people will remember that he has been creating a lot of hope in the Nick Fuentes crowd because he was one of the few Republican politicians that were accepting to have discussions with Nick Fuentes. He just canceled Nick Fuentes. Representative Dr. Paul Gosar blames a staff error for a video appearance he made last month at a conference hosted by Nick Fuentes. He says he's given up on dealing with Nick. It's over. The secret plan is over. It was all arranged by probably a staff member who was sympathetic to Nick Fuentes and didn't quite reveal to Gosar who he was. And so Gosar has decided to dissociate from Nick Fuentes. I think it was to be expected. There's so much pressure on these politicians. which is why I think that Nick Fuentes' position on American politics, his belief that he can influence it, is quite ridiculous, quite naive. But you know, he can try, but I think that his movement is bound to become a smaller and smaller and cringier with the years. Of course, he has a big enough audience that he can surf on it for more than a decade if he wants to. But it will be harder and harder with time to make it look like something can be accomplished. Clout and Share and Snare says, Jeff, Putin is Udmurt, small ethos that is Finno-Hungarian in heritage, so there might be some Asian part to Putin, definitely. Yes, and if you look at the thumbnail that I just published for this show tonight, you will definitely see I think it's the most Asian-looking Putin I've seen. Mookie says, not true, since Gosar has been appearing in public with Nick for a while. Did I say Gosar has never been appearing with Nick? What I'm saying is that Gosar has decided that starting from now, he has given up on dealing with Nick. So that means he will not appear anymore. So it's not true. He's given up on dealing with Nick Fuentes. So yes, he's been dealing with Nick Fuentes. Starting today, he will not deal with Nick Fuentes. Pineapple Platypotamus says, I'll continue helping you and the Groppers, JF. All right, you do what you want. Mookie says, since at least 2020, JF, I'm just talking about the excuse with regard to the aid. Oh, okay. So you're saying it's not true that it was a staff error, and what it really is a repositioning from Gosar. Okay, I fully agree with you. That's a possibility. Perhaps Gosar is just trying to put it on the back of someone and not himself. That's totally fair. It could be. Pineapple Platypotamus says, the JF versus Nick Fuentes saga is like the Goku versus Vegeta, except they're both Goku and Vegeta. What is that? Some kind of Asian cartoon? I don't know what you're talking about. It's like you're trying to explain to me a meme or something that it doesn't pass my brain. Who is Goku? Who is Vegeta? What would it mean to be both Goku and Vegeta? I have no clue what you're talking about. Phil Best sends $20. Thank you so much. Hey, Phil Best. I think I've not received a super chat from Phil Best for years. Phil Best was at the beginning of my YouTube career. This guy was sending super chats regularly. So glad to see you back, Phil Best. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you did send a super chat in the last weeks. But I think Phil Best, I think I've not seen a super chat from him for maybe 4 years. And here he is tonight. Although I might be wrong about the 4 years. Maybe you've been around. He says, if I was Putin, I would learn English just so I could say, bro, you're America, talking about someone else killing civilians. Really? Yeah. And I think much of the themes of the Putin's media approach in this war is very much in line with this. It's Putin telling, look, America has been talking about its security interests, justifying invasions forever. So Russia can do the same. America has been talking about combating other countries for ideologies that were present in these countries. So we can denazify too. Of course, America was not denazifying the Middle East, but to some extent, you could argue that there's been a lot of psyops around presenting the Arab men as anti-Semitic and as needing some kind of intervention. You know, there's been a lot of journalists filming those Palestinians swastikas that were printed on some what was it? They were sending paper planes with swastikas on it. Ariel Sorrell says, JF, you do know about the Dragon Ball series. No, I don't. I literally don't know a single thing about the Dragon Ball series other than that it exists and it's called Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Z. The letter Z is back, but you have to be careful. Call it Dragon Ball Z only if you're ready to be banned in Germany, because I think that very soon we will see a ban of the letter Z. We've already seen it in Ukraine. Ukraine has banned the letter Z. Germany is next. Bob says, JF, have you seen the videos of Patrick Lancaster? He's a real hero and journalist reporting from East Ukraine. Perhaps I've seen them without knowing who he is, but I don't know who he is. So no, you would have to send me some links on Discord, maybe send me a DM. The Fed cannot undo the damage it has already caused. The Fed raised the target for the federal funds rate by 0.25% to 0.50%. According to Fed officials, the increase in the federal funds rate target was in response to the strong increases in the yearly growth rate of the consumer price index. Most commentators believe that by raising the interest rate target, the central bank can slow the increase of prices of goods and services. So they're saying they're trying to fight inflation, but it's not working. We hold, however, that increases in money supply are what inflation is all about. So perhaps they are right. Perhaps it's just the volume and that the interest rate will strangle the consumer in terms of his ability to borrow money, but it won't fix the inflation problem, because the inflation problem has been created by the availability of a total volume. Okay, you've just sent me a YouTube link to Patrick Lancaster. Special report.
Patrick Lancaster, we are back in Mariupol, and
I've seen this guy before. I've seen many of his videos. I just didn't know this is who you're speaking about.
Are now at a location where just a few days ago we were able to evacuate a elderly woman to her son in Donetsk, because we've been here before.
So much emotion, bro. Tell me what it's about. Tell me what's happening.
And her son, we made contact with her son, and he asked us to evacuate her, and we did it. Now we're back to take out some more. I think we'll be able to take out one or two people today. We've got a long list. Many people have been writing, and that's good, but we just can't get to everybody yet. But
stop crying, soldier. We need you on the front lines.
We're going to do our best. Hopefully we'll get a couple out today. Мой брат на зави.
Забирайте нас.
Да.
Добавь. Нам
двоих. Мы вместе за два.
Я надеюсь, можно
взять. Берут, что надо. У меня есть два машины.
Поехали.
See, this is the mom who wants to stay, and she's saying to her, to presumably some, maybe her daughter, she's saying, go. She's staying. I love this attitude. There was this also in the Chernobyl series, the 5-part Chernobyl series, where there was a grandmother with her cow, and she's like, soldier, I'm not going with you. It doesn't matter if there's alpha particles and some radiation coming out around me. I've been seeing soldiers again and again pass here from this invasion and that invasion, and I've never went with them. I've always stayed here. You're not going to be the one who takes me away from my home. And in the Chernobyl, which is basically a fictitious rethinking of the Chernobyl explosion, but in that particular series, the soldier ends up killing her. Let's see what happens with this, Mom.
What's the situation in Mariupol right now?
It's fucking hell.
Uh-huh. How? What's happening?
We don't know, because we are in Zaloznik. I don't know this word in English. Yeah, Zaloznik is off situation.
Uh-huh. What should the world know? Что вы могу сказать мир? Что нужно знать о Мариуполе сейчас?
Мариуполе is a hell.
Yeah?
It's a fucking hell.
Она там, она лежит там, в подвале.
Кто?
Женщина. Второй этаж.
С этой стороны, я бы начал
беспокоить. Господи.
Аккуратно.
Now that is a good place to be, let me tell you. You don't want your entire building to fall over this, because if your entire building falls, you may be stuck under the rubble. But it has good nuclear protection, good concrete protection. Probably you can survive a blast that would happen at a couple of miles away. You can be protected from radiation. This is a great place to be.
Бедаш, мама твоя где? Вот тут корреспонденты. Ага. А я ж кричу, Бедаш кричу. Показала квартиру. А, вот труба. Ага. Осторожно.
I would totally live in that basement. I would have stacked cans of fish and other things that I can store in terms of protein and energy. That is a good place to survive war no matter what happens. Now, you have to pray that eventually they don't come in and kill you. But most of the time, if you can be totally isolated, you're not going to be in trouble, because whoever comes to liberate you, whether it's the enemy or your side, they're not going to be in a war mood to get you out of there, if you can wait enough and survive the conflict.
Ой, труба.
Где кумира тоже
показала? Где твоя мама?
Туда дальше.
Туда.
Прямо. О,
fascinating. Thank you so much for sending me this link. I hadn't seen this video.
Надо. Это американские корреспонденты. Вот. Здравствуйте. Вот она. Там сгорела квартира ее полностью.
Да?
Это да. Да.
Ага.
Она в подвале теперь живет вот.
А, живет подвал, да?
Да, подвал живет, потому что сгорела квартира.
Ага.
Absolutely furtive, absolutely good place to hide.
Бомба упала туда.
Ага.
А мне 79.
Ей уже 80 лет. И она вот в подвале теперь живет.
Ага, да. Страшно, извините.
Очень страшно, дорогие мои. Очень страшно. А, меня?
Да.
Я не знаю, вы мне не
фотографировали.
Я вас искала.
Зачем?
Я знаю, что в подвале она где-то. А много людей. Там люди в подвале, и дети маленькие.
Very interesting. I really appreciate this is great reporting. You can see the actual state of life. End of the line, Joel says, crazy poor people. I mean, they may be somewhat poor, but the conditions that you see them in here does not indicate poverty. They're just in a building that's been bombarded for a couple of days now, at least. And so I don't expect them to be in a state where you can see their wealth or comfort. They are surviving, really. This is what survival is in a war situation. Someone has sent videos Massive explosion reported 6 minutes ago by Breaking News 24/7 at a nightclub in Baku, Azerbaijan. At a nightclub, I would expect that this is some kind of lone terrorist action, so I don't think it indicates a link with the Ukraine war. However, it's interesting that it happened at this moment. Mookie says, shit, huge explosion just reported in Baku, Azerbaijan. The war between Azerbaijan and Armenia has been heating up after setting down in the last few months. This is another Russian proxy war for your information, JF. Okay, interesting if it's another Russian proxy. Azerbaijan, if I remember correctly, is just south of Russia, southwest. It's under Russia, so yes, interesting. We'll see what happens with this in the following days, but given that it's a nightclub, it doesn't look like a military operation. Ukraine announces $1 million reward per Russian helicopter, fighter jet, warship. Ukrainian farmers have been stealing tanks, blah blah blah. Here's a complete breakdown of the reward system. $1 million for a combat aircraft, $500,000 for combat helicopter, $35,000 for reactive volley fire system, small combat ships, $50,000. Okay. Well, okay. I guess there's going to be some battalions that specialize in capturing these things and bringing them back to Ukraine. India will drop the dollar to trade with Russia, replacing SWIFT. This is bad news. Trump warned about this. India will be dropping the dollar in its trade with China, with Russia. Very interesting. So that plays in the hand of the narrative around the end of the petrodollar, the end of the USD as a standard. And everything can happen from here. This could involve a reduction of the economic capacity of the US across the world, potentially. So very interesting. I'm happy about it. Lawrence Forbes sends a super chat on entropy. He says, if there is racial overlap between China and Russia, wouldn't you see a slightly darker skin color in those Russians? Putin is as white as the driven snow. But maybe this is seen as in southeastern Russians. We'd have to look, perhaps with a study and with a true objective recording of the pigments in the skin. Let's not forget, though, that the pigmentation of the skin is ultimately a matter of seasonality, a matter of exposure to the environment. Like, there's a way you can take even a Northern European and have them look tan. So let's not be deceived by this. China is more southern than Russia, and I would expect this to play in how much tan they are getting across the year. But yeah, that would be interesting. I don't know. However, I would say that your assumption is not necessarily true. You could have a share of Chinese genes in the Russian population, but they may not include the genes for pigmentation of the skin, and they could alter all of your other facial features. So you could have a situation in which the Chinese genes have made it somehow in the Russian population, but those for facial shape, but not those for skin tone. So that's something to, and also, even if the genes for skin tone would have made it, it could be the case that the environment in Russia with less sun could not trigger the same phenotypic response to these genes. Rodi Lacid says, JF, the explosion in Azerbaijan might have something to do with Ramadan, as today is the first day of Muslim fasting and there are often bombings and attacks during this time. Interesting. What kind of bombing? Are they bombings against the Muslims or by the Muslims? It's interesting. I think that what we are bound to see is that the Ukraine war will have consequences on the southern border of Russia. Something involving Kazakhstan, perhaps other countries between, like, west of China. I think that we are bound to see a lot of action there, simply because you have a total reconfiguration of the economy. You have the American interest to encircle Russia, basically, and they're kind of succeeding at making the Ukraine war costly, but they're not succeeding at making the Ukraine war a total success for Ukraine. So I think that other pressure points of Russia will be played on, certainly, or there will be attempts of that kind. Simultaneously, if the economy pushes Russia, being so sanctioned by the West, to increase its commerce with China and its commerce with India and other nations around them, then we are bound to see this area of the world, the south of Russia, the border, and the countries that lay along the border, to become much more important, because there will be a bigger matter there to control in terms of controlling the pipelines, the flows of gas in this region, the flows of goods. So it's going to be interesting what the CIA and the other agents of the globalist empire try to pull in these regions. But I'm not saying that I know anything about this particular Azerbaijan bombing. Rate hikes, geopardizes much more than just American home ownership. Someone once said that you never actually buy a home. Instead, you merely commit to paying an annuity, the mortgage. That's largely true. The price and value of homes for the overwhelming majority of homeowners is a function of home buyers' ability to make payments. And with the Federal Reserve signaling further interest rate hikes, home buyers and sellers and assorted others who use credit will incur knock-on effects from those increases. Man, it's going to be ugly. The home... I'm so happy that, you know, they say you never quite buy a home. Well, me and Mama JF, we literally just bought a home. We bought a home with a check with money that we had. But this is so rare. To buy a home cash, we did it. And I'm so happy we did, because I would see the interest rate increasing. It could squeeze me out of existence. I mean, imagine just a little bit of interest rate increase and your payments are increased a little bit, and you stop having super chats for a month on Odyssey or something like this, and boom, I can't make my payments anymore. So I'm so happy we were able to buy a home without a mortgage. For those of you who are in big mortgages where you still owe a lot, it's going to be dirty. You see the end game of this whole mortgage system, which is to drain some money from you at the beginning and then eventually repossess the house and sell it on the market. It's horrible. You know, I'm looking at it from a, you know, the next generation and the young guys that are calling on this show and any children of mine, and I... like, how will I explain to these people the world? Would I counsel them not to get a mortgage at all? I might very well do that. But then, are you locking them from opportunities to be a homeowner? The big problem is that I was thinking about this today. There has been a generation for whom the mortgage system kind of worked. The boomers, they basically built wealth by trusting the mortgage system. And because the economy was doing relatively well, they made it. And they didn't get their house seized. But the modern mortgage business is people buying houses they can't afford at prices they can't afford, with unstable job systems that will eventually fire them, and boom, they will lose their house. So I think we have to dissociate the mortgage of the past in a super rising economy that might have worked. The mortgage of today, it's a trap. Just like our caller who called and, you know, he had to sell his house because his life changed. He was still owing money because you pay only the interest at the beginning and you don't advance much on your principal. I think we have to develop a culture of, if you can't afford a full payment of the house, just don't buy it. Das Nietzsche says, you never own a home, you can't pay your property tax, you're screwed. Yes, that's also a problem. But you can hope that the property tax will always be somewhat affordable unless they really want to coordinate the political system to kick people out of their homes. But you're totally right. You're totally right. And that's unfortunate. All right, Judge Rules. Oh, Mama JF is coming.
Look, I tell you what you have to do, okay? You have to, you go to trade school at 16, okay? When you're a man. After that, you only work, okay? You work so much after you buy a house.
So you have a whole theory of how easy life is. Yes. And it relies on first being a man and then doing what you tell him to do.
What? No, you're a woman.
What do you do if you're a woman? I guess that's my question.
You're just being beautiful and available.
Well, you are beautiful, but you are not available. You are mine.
No, but seriously, it's more like the depth from school, I think, the problem.
Well, depth from school is a problem.
That's why after they get mortgage.
Yeah.
And they lose their time at school. It's more this. Anyway, me, that's what I'm going to do with your children, by the way.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to put them in trade school at 16 and I'm going to make them work.
Well, I don't disagree. I think it's a good way to live. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Will young people of the next generation demand absolutely to go to the university and everything? Or perhaps if they are homeschooled, they might not want this at all. And yes, trade school would be an excellent choice. You can get done in less than 2 years and you're on the market and then you make some money. That's totally what I would recommend. And anyways, it's like you're going to go to the university. You're not going to be employed for your diploma because no one will need whatever you studied in. Unless you're some kind of a specific engineer and they need that skill, or a specific doctor and they need that skill. Most, like my brothers are richer than me, much richer. And they've studied about 15% of what I had, of the amount of time I spent in the school. So maybe I studied for 15 years of my adult life. They studied for maybe 2 to 4 years. They're much richer, and they don't have problems paying mortgages because they know that they're set for life with jobs that pay. Judge rules California woke diversity law is unconstitutional. California corporate diversity law ruled unconstitutional. A judge ruled Friday that the law that mandates that corporations diversify their boards with members from certain racial, ethnic, or LGBT groups is unconstitutional. The brief ruling granted summary judgment to Judicial Watch, who sought a permanent injunction against the measure that was signed into law last year. The ruling didn't explain the judge's reasoning. But that's very good news. When California attempts to force people of minorities onto boards and into the whole business domain, they are violating the liberty of corporations. They are basically forcing underqualified people into the system. And all of it is to create a fictitious zombie economy that looks like it works, but that doesn't have the right people doing the work. And that is definitely not a meritocracy. So I'm happy that this is happening, that the judge has made this decision, although I'm surprised, because we've seen that kind of policies invade the corporate world. And I don't think that because of this judge rule that we're done with affirmative action in this domain. I think that some companies will decide to live by the law, even if the law has been judged unconstitutional. But yeah, it boils down to this. It's like you can manage your company with whatever woke craziness animates you, but you're gonna have to pay the price of your woke craziness. You cannot impose that all other companies, through law, have to be as woke as you. The IMF warns that sanctions against Russia threaten to weaken the dominance of the dollar. Well, that's a proper assessment. I think it's the most likely event coming out of this war, which is that we will have a multi-pronged system of the economy and the USD will not be at the center of it. Update, Ukrainian negotiator, so that I've already covered, but Ukrainian negotiator says Russia accepts Ukraine's position with the exception of Kyiv's stance on Crimea, Reuters reported citing Interfax Ukraine. I am very curious what that is, because how can you not agree on Crimea and have an agreement on DPR and LPR? The only hypothesis that stems to my mind is, did Russia just abandon DPR and LPR? Or is Ukraine okay with losing Crimea, but they don't like the idea of officially recognizing it as part of Russia? These two hypotheses are what I see. But in any case, we'll see what are the outputs of these negotiations, because they say they're going to draft a written form. So that will be interesting. Someone sent me this and asked me to analyze this tonight. I will not play it in full because it's 20 minutes, but this is Jon Stewart making a kind of, okay, let's talk amongst white people about race because there's something wrong.
Obviously, usually in an episode about race, focusing on black issues, you'd want to connect with a Cornel West, a Ta-Nehisi Coates, a Dave Matthews, experts in the field. But I'm going to take Toni Morrison's advice on this. It's time for white people to talk and figure some things out. So tonight I'm speaking to, I mean, honestly, as white a panel as I think I could find. I have an Andrew, a Lisa, and a Chip. This panel is bone. It is alabaster. To my left is Chip Gallagher. He's a professor of sociology at LaSalle University. He researches social inequality and race. Lisa Bond, the resident white woman for Race to Dinner, a group that is trying to have better conversations about race in America. And joining remotely, longtime author and columnist Andrew Sullivan, editor of The Weekly Dish. Welcome, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to talk about this. Here's what I think holds back our race conversation in America. I think at its core, I think white people put blame on black people for the position that they are in.
This is all psychologizing, and it shows the crap that this guy is. I mean, I've been enthusiastic because of his position when came the time to talk about the lab leak hypothesis in the COVID stuff. But I didn't have big hopes, but I kind of had hopes that at least on this issue, he was right. But you can see that on the race issue in this segment, he's basically a slave to the left, and he's psychologizing white people and the conversation that need to be had. There is no conversation possible on race in America because you've censored a part of that conversation. You've made it so socially objectionable that the person in that conversation would say, hey, it's okay to be white, or there's the perfect example. It's okay to be white is considered a white supremacist slogan. So there you go. You won't have a conversation as long as you won't acknowledge, one, that we don't inherit the wrongs of people of our skin color, that you cannot make white people of today feel bad for some other people and what they've committed, who are sometimes not even our ancestors. And the second thing is, if you're going to make everything around identity and create a society that is that has an inverted pyramid, that is anti-meritocratic, and that says we will lift up the victims, we will take everyone who's weak and we will put them up, you're going to have to face the fact that some white people will react to this by saying, that's unjust, that is anti-American, and in fact I'm going to claim that my identity is okay and that I'm proud of it, and they're going to start to highlight the aspects of their identity that they like. Now, when we do this, of course your side of the politics attack us and cancel us, and they consider this subject to be taboo. So there cannot be a discussion about race in America other than this. Now you can shut us down, cancel us, and make your little psychological displays and psychological interpretations of what is wrong with white people. You'll get none of it. And because you don't engage with someone truly willing to question your priors, you end up just yapping and repeating those professional CRT anti-racist professional conference managers and speakers, those talking points that are absolutely ridiculous and that we could debunk in a 1 minute conversation with you if you were to accept discussing with us. That is it for tonight, boys. Don't forget, Ryan Dawson was not here tonight because I misunderstood his email, but he will be here on Monday, and tomorrow will be regular show on Sunday. Bye-bye, everyone, and sleep well. Thank you.